Janae, and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Quarterback battles being finalized. We've got young players stepping up. We got teams, quite frankly, trying to patch holes that should have been addressed a long time ago. It's Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Mike Golic Jr., Amber Wilson, hanging out with us all week here, and we will get to more of that. Some big takeaways from the NFL's preseason, as we are now towards cutdown days. Days that, Amber, quite frankly, I don't remember too fondly here when you get that guy knocking on your door telling you to come to coach's office and bring your playbook. We've all seen it enough on Hard Knocks to where people feel normalized with it. I promise it is not nearly as glamorous as it looks.
You lived it. Do you still get agita now with cutdown days, or is there a point that will reach here where, like, it's been enough years where you feel removed enough that you're okay with these days that are upon us?
Oh, no, Amber, it is a scar that I'm going to wear for the rest of my life, because I assure you, I still walk into the building here every day and wonder if I'm going to have my badge work. That is the uncertain footing you live on when you're an undrafted free agent for life.
Well, you're here, so you've made the 53 at this point. I feel like we're close enough to season now that you're still on air. You've made the 53. You're good.
You know what, Amber? The minute you assume that, they go and find somebody else in a different team that just got waived and bring them in, and next thing you know, I'm out here doing the milk crate challenge for a bunch of people here. I don't know how this stuff works, so.
You have a point.
Hopefully, we'll be here for the 53-man roster. We'll also talk to Justin Tinsley coming up here in about 10 minutes here. He's leading the charge on the Kings of Crenshaw and ESPN 30 for 30 podcast in partnership with the Undefeated on the life and death of Nipsey Hussle and the legacy he's left behind, especially with what we've saw from so many stars in the NBA over this last season here. But Amber, it's time to get some baseball. And if we're talking baseball on this show, it usually means someone's done something funky enough to get into the charge. So I want to give you a tale of two cities here in New York, because we had Tony Kemp lining a tie-breaking two-run homer off Chad Green in the eighth as the Oakland A's beat the Yankees once again, stopping the Yankees 3-1 on Sunday night. Now, the Yankees have been in a largely different position in the back half of this season. We've got the Mets on the other side trying to boo their own fans at home. This is the Sunday Night Baseball Recap brought to you by Samsung Galaxy. Get ready for the Samsung Galaxy Z Flip 3 5G and Z Fold 3 5G. Pre-order now at Samsung.com. And the Yankees, while certainly things not going well against the A's, it's been much more to root for as of late. It's felt a lot better. We had them with 11 straight before. The Mets, on the other side, had an interesting situation for this team. So the Mets got a win this past weekend, but it has come after a great degree of struggle here, particularly by Javier Baez. Now, since he moved into the Mets lineup after the trade deadline, he's hitting .207, .258, and .414 with three homers, five RBIs in 16 games. The fans have responded in accordance with that by booing him and the rest of the Mets at certain junctures. So, during the Mets' 9-4 win over the Nats on Sunday, Javi Baez and a couple other teammates were giving the thumbs-down sign to the crowd. When Javier Baez was asked about this after the game, here's what he had to say. Janae Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Amber, is he right?
It doesn't bother me, but here I am giving the thumbs down back. And the fans need to be better, but don't worry. It doesn't bother me when they boo me. Obviously, it bothers him, and for good reason. I understand why it would bother him. I'm sure being booed by thousands of people is not fun. It's not something I've ever experienced, and it's not something I hope to ever experience. And man, it's such a baseball thing, by the way, to say we struggle. We'll all struggle 7 out of 10 times. That's such a baseball thing that's something that is okay in your book. But that is how baseball works. And this is generally how baseball works. And not just the New York market, right? But this is sports, man. And I'm not one, we talked about it earlier in the show, I'm not one who would ever boo my home team. I'm not down with that. I think that's jerkitude if you're doing that. Nevertheless, we talked about it earlier. You're not a jerk, but you are exhibiting the behavior of a jerk when you're booing your own team. But you're the paying customer, and Baez and the Mets are being paid to be there. And because of that relationship, the customer may not always be right, but the customer is often right. And because of that relationship, this is a losing position for the New York Mets players. I mean, they're not going to get anywhere with retaliating. It's not going to accomplish anything. Your organization is going to come in and shoot you down right away. Hey, we let the fans do what they want in terms of boos. We need to make the product better. This is how this works. And it's not great for the player. I'm sure it's not a fun component of playing baseball, but there are a lot of very fun components about that job. So I would imagine that the fans don't feel so bad about their own behavior in that spot, even if they should, frankly.
Yeah, so you mentioned the players are paid to show up and do this job and do it at a high level, and in some instances deal with this. Don LaGreca, co-host of the Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN, was on with Greeny earlier and said the opposite of that is also true. Fans have paid for the ability to do just what we've seen. I mean, a functioning human being with a pulse and a sense of decency might be a place to start. Like, Amber, I'm with him on the right to boo. Booing the officials, a ton of fun. Booing the other team, an absolute blast. I just can't understand the mentality that would lead you to boo your home team. Like, I don't have a lot of irrational fandoms, but Notre Dame football is one of them. Despite having played there, I still allow Notre Dame to potentially ruin my Saturdays depending on their performance in a way that doesn't make sense. So I can identify someone with a fan mentality. And I promise you, I've been that way. You can ask my parents or anyone in my life. I've been that kind of Notre Dame fan since I was a kid. And I've never once booed that team. I've been to a million home games as a fan, and I've never once even had the idea to think about booing that team. I've been on the other side where we got pelted with snowballs when we were losing on senior day to Syracuse in 2008. So I know what these guys are feeling, and you're right, it's a losing hand here, but I will just never be able to identify with that mentality and surely not be seeing it as some sort of paid right when I enter the stadium to do that. Like, no, that can still be a reflection on you. Just because you're part of this mob and because you paid a few bucks to be in the stadium doesn't all of a sudden make it okay to just act however you want and not expect me to judge you accordingly.
I'm still going to judge you if you're booing your own team because not something I would do. But also, though, I mean, we're talking about booing. We're not talking about fans. I mean, that Notre Dame reference that you just made with them throwing snowballs at you, like, we're not talking about them throwing things here at the players or anything that would be considered violent in any way or even obscene. Like, they're booing. And in fairness, the players are just giving them a thumbs down back. So they're also not doing anything obscene. The problem is that you have thousands versus a couple here, and you're not going to win. Like, if the players turned around and started booing back, nobody would even hear them, which is why they go with the thumbs down gesture to show that they're not so happy about the treatment that they've been receiving. It's just not going to get you anywhere with the fans. The fans aren't going to think, oh, okay, well, now we got the thumbs down, so now I'm not upset that the Mets have completely coughed up this entire season after a really hot start at the first half of the season. They're still going to be just as frustrated as they have been before you gave them the thumbs down. So it's just a losing proposition for the players. And frankly, it's all much ado about nothing. We're not going to get anywhere with this behavior.
No, we're not. And you're right.
On either side. I mean, it's not like the players are, oh, we're getting booed, so all of a sudden we're going to start playing well again. I mean, that doesn't work either.
No, it doesn't at all. And I will say, while I think calling someone just a straight up loser and a well executed thumb down can be a lot more painful than we give them credit for, nothing's going to be accomplished here. Someone who understood that was Kevin Pillar, who along with Francisco Lindor were two other players doing this during the game. And when someone tweeted at him, "We love you, but are you booing the fans, bro?" Kevin Pillar responded, "Love y'all too. I felt nothing but love in NYC. No, I'm not booing fans. We're having fun. No different than earlier this year when we were chirping. Please don't look too much into this." So he's already trying to say, no. This ain't me. I'm just having a good time out here. I got no beef with you guys. Kevin Pillar, the Stugatz, is strong in you. So let's move away from booing into something that's worth a lot more of your time than this issue, quite frankly. Coming up next here, we will look at the life, death, and legacy of Nipsey Hussle and how it's influenced so much of the sports world that we've seen in the last couple of years. We'll get to that next here. Chiney and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Chiney and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Chiney and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Amber Wilson filling in with us all week here. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. And guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. And I know for our next guest, this has truly been a labor of love for quite a while now that we're getting to see the finished results of here. 30 for 30 podcast and the Undefeated present the King of Crenshaw, a four-part series examining Nipsey Hussle and his life, death, and legacy on the world of sports, especially in the NBA, with so much of what we've seen lately. And Justin Tinley, senior writer for The Undefeated and host of this podcast series, joining us here now. And Justin, congrats, man. I know this is something you've been working hard on for a while. So, I mean, for you, what's it like to see the fruit of so much work finally presented to everyone?
Well, man, first and foremost, man, thank you for having me on the show. It's truly an honor to be here. And you're right, man. It's a labor of love. I think we started formally putting the team together probably about a year ago, so about August 2020. And, you know, we just did over 30 interviews. We did scripts for each episode. We did more scripts for each episode and even more scripts for each episode. But honestly, the idea was first formed in the spring of 2018, when one of my best friends, who's from South LA, he had a friend who was Nipsey's publicist at Atlantic Records at the time, and they were looking to get him some coverage just in the sports world because Nipsey was a huge fan of ESPN. Obviously, he was a huge sports fan, and we came up with the idea at that point to examine Nipsey's relationships throughout the NBA because I always thought there was more to the story than just famous rapper and famous basketball player taking a picture courtside either before or after a game. And he really liked the idea. And we were supposed to, I don't want to make it seem like the idea was like this close to actually becoming a thing because we still had some other, things to iron out. But yeah, this was supposed to be something that I worked on personally with Nipsey. And if you go through my phone right now, my notes app, I have something from April 2018. It's titled Nipsey Hussle Questions. So all throughout this process, I used to go back to that notes app and look at it like, man, I have to be able to see this thing through because unfortunately Nipsey wasn't.
So Justin, in a nutshell then, why did Nipsey resonate so deeply with athletes of today's generation and particularly NBA athletes?
Well, you know, for one, Nipsey was a huge basketball fan. There were so many great stories of Nipsey, the basketball player, that didn't ultimately make the podcast just for, like, streamlining, and I couldn't have each episode be 2 hours. But, you know, a lot of these guys in the NBA that Nipsey connected with, they were from South Los Angeles. So it wasn't just like, oh, I'm a fan of this guy. It was, I'm a fan of this guy. But he also, there's these shared life experiences that a lot of these young black men had that made their success in just the NBA and Nipsey's through music and made it all the more valuable and all the more relatable because they saw each other's process from a distance. Not to say that Nipsey knew James when he was in high school or anything like that, but again, just coming from the same area and understanding how culturally significant that the city of Los Angeles is locally and nationally, like these things connected him with these NBA players because it's one thing to be a fan of somebody, but it's one thing to hear another person speak and you can be like, yeah, I know exactly what that feels like. I know exactly what that experience looks like because I've been through it. And there was just a common respect there. It wasn't anything more than, oh, Nipsey, like you come to my game, show love, or you come to my concert and show love. It was just like, no, I support you in what you're doing because I want to see you win in all aspects of life, not just in what your profession is, whether it be a rapper or a basketball player, but I respect you as a man. I respect you as a person. And if there's anything I can do to help along the way, then I'll do that. And that's exactly who Nipsey Hussle was.
Chenangle Jr. here on ESPN Radio talking to Justin Tinsley, senior writer at The Undefeated and host of the 30 for 30 podcast series, The King of Crenshaw. 4-part series, again, documenting the life, death, and legacy of Nipsey Hussle. And by now, I think everyone's become familiar with the phrase, the marathon continues. But Justin, as you went through this, how did that end up becoming such a rallying cry for so many NBA players, so many athletes in general over the last year and a half?
I mean, you know, Mike, you get it. You understand that, like, when you play football, like, you don't play a bowl game in August. You got to go through training camp. You got to go through all those two-a-days. And you know, playing basketball, you don't just start at the NBA Finals. Like, and that's a metaphor for sports, but it's also a metaphor for life that, you know, anything that's worth having, anything that's worth pursuing is going to take some time, and there are going to be hurdles, and there are going to be setbacks. But you have to understand that anything that's worth having is going to be tough to get because that's just what passion looks like. That's what resilience looks like. And when you're running a marathon, you got to have a passion. You got to have resilience. And, you know, just that, I think the marathon continues is emblematic of a career for somebody like Isaiah Thomas. And, you know, we know what he's been through, you know, since getting hurt in Boston. Not even just that, but just being the last pick in the NBA draft in 2011 and just being an undersized guard, having to prove yourself. You know, that mantra resonates with him. That mantra resonates with somebody like a DeMarcus Cousins who, you know, who has encountered multiple hurdles over the course of his career and it was at one point, at the very, very least, a top 12, top 10 NBA player. And, you know, now he's having to, you know, fight to stay in the league and do all these other type of things. So, like, that phrase resonates with these guys, not just on a career level, but on a life pursuit level.
Yeah, DeMarcus Cousins apparently calls Nipsey his superhero. He does resonate with a mm-hmm. lot of these NBA players. Did he have an opportunity, Justin, when he was alive to know what kind of impact he was having on this generation of athletes?
You know, that's a really, really good question. I think he knew in terms of, like, he had really close friendships with these guys. And they told him how much he meant to them. But, you know, I can't put words in his mouth, but the best I can, I don't think he knew that his impact was to the extent that it was, you know, because Nipsey, for as much as he touched, you know, these NBA players and his fans, he was still, you know, when I was talking to Bomani the other day, he kind of said something that really resonated. Like, Nipsey was kind of like the last hyper-local superstar. Like, he was known in L.A. Like, he was really getting known across the board, across the country during the last couple of months and year of his life. But he was this guy that really resonated within L.A. But that resonating in L.A. also helped him resonate across the country because so much of cultural significance resonates in L.A. So to answer your question as best I can, I don't know if he knew that his impact was, you know, resonating with people in, you know, a kid from Virginia like myself or resonating in Florida or Mississippi or across the country or across the world, rather. Like, no, I don't know if any of us really understand the true extent of our impact and our legacy until it's time to examine it. And unfortunately, you know, Nipsey's not here to examine his own legacy.
Well, this podcast does an outstanding job of doing just that. 30 for 30 podcast and the Undefeated presenting the King of Crenshaw again. Justin Tinsley, kind enough to join us here, senior writer at the Undefeated and host of this podcast, put a ton of work into this. So, Justin, congrats. Really excited for everyone to continue to hear this. And best of luck. I'm sure we'll talk to you soon. All right, man?
Hey, thank you all so much for having me on. It's truly appreciated.
Awesome stuff, guys. Make sure you check it out. You can download that, binge it now on SiriusXM, Pandora, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcast. Outstanding stuff from Justin Tinsley on that. We'll be back with more of our training camp takeaways next here on Chenea and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chenea and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Chenea and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Amber Wilson. We'll get back to one of the top stories from the weekend. Some incredible broken news from one of the more talented young ESPN NFL insiders in America. Nay, I say, Amber, the world. It doesn't feel like a reach.
Nay, you say, Mike Golic Jr., our new NFL insider here, our resident NFL insider. All I know is that Adam Schefter, he might want to watch out. Hey, you might be coming for his job. You've got, I mean, since you walked in here, like the cell phones, they keep multiplying. You can't stop texting during the show. You're a changed man. Now he's on his phone during the show. You're a changed man. Now that Golic has sources, this is the direction that his life is headed. Just don't forget about the little people.
Listen, I don't want to say that I've changed and glowed up completely, but I mean, we even have full-blown production just in the off chance that I should break even more news outside of the new contract extension for Viking safety Harrison Smith that I broke this weekend. Please credit if you discuss this in any of all programs. Wow. See, Amber, we're ready now. You don't have to get ready when you stay ready in the insider game.
Of course. That's some beautiful imaging there by Matt Leck. I like that. So now the pressure's on where you actually have to do it again in order for Goge Bomb to become a thing.
That's fine. Listen, I don't want to be a one-hit wonder. Again, going out and reporting that Harrison Smith is now the second highest paid safety in the NFL at the age of 32 with an extension that pays him 4 years and $64 million. Like, that's not for me to sit here and say it's the scoop of the year.
Now, I'll be really surprised if you Goge Bomb it for somebody who didn't go to Notre Dame. Like, that'll be the real breaking news. That's when I know that you really are going for Shefty's job.
Yeah, you know what? Listen, again, who's to say where my sources were in that situation, who they were? A good insider is like a good magician, Amber. They never reveal their secrets. So I'm going to keep those close to the vest and try and keep this thing going. Now, ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive's making bundling easy and affordable. Get a multi-policy discount by combining your car, home, motorcycle, commercial auto, and more. All your protection in one place. Bundle and save at progressive.com. Amber, we've been doing big NFL preseason takeaways today, and you're based down in Miami here, obviously spent a lot of time around and covering the Dolphins and talking about them down there. Have you been shocked by Brian Flores' response? Because they've been linked to Deshaun Watson since going back before everything happening with him legally, when he was a legitimate person we were talking about potentially being one of the biggest NFL transactions of this offseason. Has what you have heard out of Dolphins camp, Amber, made you believe that they're actually all in on Tua?
Well, you mentioned it. I mean, these rumors with Deshaun Watson predate the allegations against Deshaun Watson and the 22 lawsuits and the criminal investigations that we know are ongoing against Deshaun Watson. So they've been linked to Deshaun Watson from a football perspective before all of that happened, simply because a lot of teams who have question marks at quarterback would be interested in a top five quarterback in the NFL who's only in his mid-20s in Deshaun Watson. Obviously, what changes that picture is all of these allegations and what has happened off the field here. But from a football perspective, they have always been interested, or at least according to the rumor mill, and that does lead one to believe that there's questions about Tua. And how can you not have questions about Tua? It's not even necessarily a knock on Tua to say that, again, a football perspective here. And it's always difficult because when we reference the Deshaun Watson situation, I never want to minimize the allegations and what's happening with him off the field, because of course that rises far above football. But from a football perspective, you're talking about a quarterback that of course is going to have proven himself far more in the NFL at this point than Tua Tagovailoa, who we saw for basically starting for half a season last season and getting benched for Ryan Fitzpatrick at times. And if you're sold on him, I don't quite know how. If you're totally not sold on, if you're completely out on him also, I don't really know how. We've seen some good things from him in the preseason. We just haven't seen enough from Tua Tagovailoa. So I don't really think it's a knock on Tua if you're shopping around for a top five quarterback in the NFL. Now, obviously, the landscape has changed with everything surrounding Deshaun Watson. I'm not surprised that Brian Flores is being continuously asked about this now that the rumors are churning. And I'm not surprised that Brian Flores is kind of dancing around the question, because he is off that Bill Belichick coaching tree. And he does take a page out of Belichick's book in terms of not really giving us anything. So he always says, you know, he's asked, are you interested in Deshaun Watson? And his response, this is not verbatim, but essentially is, you know, I'm interested in the players on the Miami Dolphins. And then there's about 15 versions of that yesterday. And then we get today quotes that he is looking for high character guys on this team, and that's really important to him. He never comes out and directly says yes or no to shoot down the Deshaun Watson conversation. And because of that, we know how this works. It's going to continue to be ongoing. But in fairness to Flores, this is not the first time he would neither confirm nor deny trade rumors.
Yeah, and Amber, we've talked a lot about Tua, the decision to bench him in favor of Fitzpatrick at times last year, the psyche of young quarterbacks thing. It's come up a lot based on the battles that we've had in this year's training camp. I would say this: if you're looking for a way to really undercut Tua Tagovailoa, it's to have this hanging over your franchise this entire season, so that any mistake he makes now will immediately be tied back to this. Because again, the direct quote from Brian Flores, asked about this, he said, reports, speculations are not things we really get into. I understand the question, but as I've said in the past, any conversations that we have or don't have with other clubs are going to be internal. I've been pretty steadfast about that. Amber, you and I both know he could come out and say, Tua Tagovailoa is our starting quarterback, period, end of sentence. And when that hasn't happened, you understand it's because they're leaving the door open right now. Like, we're going to watch Houston go out there and put Tyrod Taylor out as their starting quarterback, because what does it benefit them to do anything in this situation? Houston should want to be as bad as possible. Houston should want to protect what is apparently somehow still a tradable asset in Deshaun Watson, and wait for a team like Miami, like potentially Denver, to throw their hat into the sweepstakes, because we know these teams can't help themselves.
The only scenario I could see where the Texans would feel like they would need to start Deshaun Watson is because he is on their roster. And from a trade perspective, is there a scenario where the Texans think, well, if we roll him out there and he's playing, then the reaction isn't quite necessarily the same if he's then playing somewhere else in terms of a trade? In other words, would there be more trade partners? Or if people are seeing him play, would they be more willing to trade for him? But you're right, this is going to be a bad Texans team. I mean, even if they had Deshaun Watson under center because these allegations weren't out there and because all this off-the-field stuff hadn't happened, you're still not talking about a good Texans team. I mean, what, he's going to win a few more games than Tyrod Taylor because he's a good quarterback, but they're not winning any championships with or without Watson. He's not on the NFL exempt list. We've talked about, you and I have talked about it ad nauseum. I mean, this is a really complicated situation for the NFL because right now, still just civil, I mean, I'm not trying to minimize the civil allegations, but we're talking right now about civil liability, not criminal. And so it complicates the situation because these civil cases could go on for years if they, in fact, do go all the way to trial, which we've heard the lawyers on both sides claim that they're going to. And so you have an FBI investigation, according to Watson's lawyers, and you have the Houston PD who's been investigating. And so there are criminal investigations, but you're talking about a situation where it may not be resolved for years. And then what do you do if you're the commissioner? Does he not play football for years? And if you're a team looking to trade for him, you're in kind of a wait and see mode to see what happens there. And if you're the Texans, you're in a wait and see mode to see what happens there. There's no easy answer to this situation. I would just say overall, though, with the Dolphins, they're kind of not in the business of shutting down rumors, typically, or addressing these sorts of things head on. I do trust Brian Flores to know his player in Tua and know what motivates him or know what would crush him. And Tua has proven to be a player who could handle all the Ryan Fitzpatrick stuff last season, getting benched for him, always having Fitzpatrick breathe over his shoulder, them toggling the quarterback situation there at the end of the season when they were trying to make the playoffs. And so I trust that Tua can actually ignore some of the noise in this situation going into this season.
And if this is any indication, he's going to have plenty of it to deal with. So Tua Tagovailoa and the Dolphins heading into 2021 season with some hope, but still a lot of questions to be answered. Coming up next, we will answer the question about the worst place to sweat from. We will get to that after this word from 5-Hour Energy. Now, football season's here, and there are lots of college and professional games to watch. Grab a 5-Hour Energy to stay alert and watch all your favorite games. We got big slates coming up, baby. I can't wait. Try the 5-Hour Energy Extra Strength Cherry Flavor. The taste is unbelievable. Go to 5HourEnergy.com today to find over 15 flavors to choose from. With flavors like watermelon, tropical burst, cherry, peach mango, and more. There's a flavor for everybody. You can even build your own 12 or 24 pack, but if you're out and about, remember, you can always pick up a 5-Hour Energy shop at your local shot at your local grocery or convenience store, because they're everywhere. Back after this, Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Janae Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. The end of the day is brought to you by Indeed. High speed to high quality candidates. Visit Indeed.com/credit. Mike Golic Jr., Amber Wilson hanging out with us this week. Oh, you know what? Get lost, Matlack. Sick of it. Sick and tired of the haters around here. Javi Baez was on to something, as were we today. Hell of a guest list today and hell of a roster. Thanks to everyone who came through. Gabe Eichard doing a great job. SiriusXM Big 12 Radio. Mina Kimes, our ESPN NFL analyst. Simu Liu, star of Marvel's new Shang-Chi, the Legend of the Ten Rings, coming out Friday, who joined us earlier, as well as Justin Tinsley, host of the King of Crenshaw, the four-part podcast series from ESPN 30 for 30 and The Undefeated, documenting the life, death, and legacy of Nipsey Hussle. If you missed any of the goods, check him out. Download, subscribe, rate, review the Janae and Golic Jr. podcast on ESPN Radio. Let's finish the day off right and keep that same energy. Keeping that same energy, Amber, we can't celebrate enough the fact that I broke the news about Harrison Smith, Vikings pro all-pro safety, contract extension announced this weekend by yours truly, per sources. It felt really good to tweet that, I'm not going to lie.
We can't stop stressing the importance of that enough. I mean,
everyone here.
Everyone. We're all in. Listen, we're all very proud of you for your Goj bomb, and we are hoping for more Goj bombs in the future, if for no other reason than Matt Lack can continue to play the imaging that he created.
And it is a thing now. It's officially a thing, so everyone continue to shower me with praise. ESPN NFL Insider. Keeping that same energy and news that I didn't break, though, surrounding the NFL, Simone Biles is now the latest athlete to release NFTs with Tom Brady's company here. Amber, have you bought an NFT yet?
I have not. You know, I'm a big collector. We're a big collector family around here. I mean, you see behind me, nobody else can see because I don't have TV. That behind me, you can see on our Zoom that there is a huge collection of sports cards behind me. I have all sorts of sports memorabilia all over my house. So I'm big into collecting, but like physical things. And I guess I'm just not new age enough yet to really get into the NFT craze. But obviously, this is a direction that things are trending. It's another way of collecting. It's just digitally based. Good for Simone Biles for getting in the game.
If you like physical things, boy, do I have a story for you, because Brett Bielema, the new head coach of Illinois, got a big win in week one against Nebraska. And when he was asked if he looked a little emotional after the game, he reminded us that he is, in fact, a big boy.
I feel like eye sweat is your area of expertise.
Oh, I tell you, I am the ESPN eye sweat insider as well, Amber. Terrible place to sweat from, right up there with the shins. People don't consider that one enough. Sweaty shins always feels kind of gross.
I mean, I've maybe had sweaty shins before. I'm not sure I've ever sweat from my eyes.
Is it
coming from your forehead and dripping into your eyes? Like, eye sweat itself seems like a strange concept.
It's coming from deep down within your soul, which is the only way I can explain that as someone who lived a lot of time above 300 pounds. Stick here for more eye sweat with Spain and Fitz next.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.